You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Perez.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The Syrian civil war has been going on for a little over 2 years now.
After revelations that chemical weapons were used in Syria, the United States debated military intervention.
Since then, Russia stepped in to broker a deal between Syria and the rest of the world. Syria's agreed to give up its chemical weapons, and the United States won't intervene.
We'll get a perspective on that now. We've got Dr. Khaldun Alaswad with us. He's a cardiologist and an Appleton resident. He was born and raised in Syria. He's a founding member of PROMISE, a non-governmental organization that raises funds, provides humanitarian aid to people in Syria. Dr. Alaswad, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you joined us on the Joy Cardine Show a little while back, and you supported U.S. military action in Syria. With the news of this deal brokered by Russia, Syria giving up chemical weapons, have you changed your position?
Well, I have a problem with the whole kind of approach to the Syrian crisis. And as you know, and probably most of the listeners know, that the regime had killed more than 110,000 people with conventional weapons. And the regime used chemical weapons for terrorizing what he considered the social base of the rebels, or the social structure which supports the rebels, in order to just kind of push them into fleeing the country and become refugees in a neighboring country. So my position is not really built on just using the chemical weapons and that. My position has always been that the U.S. need to do something more as the superpower with the most moral standing and actually the only country with the capability of saving women and children and civilians in Syria. So my position has not changed at all. I still think the U.S. need to have a clear policy and it need to help the Syrian people obtain their freedom and dignity, because as you know, and as everybody knows, that it is still a revolution, people rising up against a tyrannical regime, and they only want the freedom and dignity like any other people in the face of the earth.
And the phrase civil war has been thrown around. We used it in setting up this interview. Do you think this is better characterized as a revolution than a civil war?
Absolutely. And in fact, it's kind of, this is the only thing the regime and the Syrian people agree on. It is not a civil war. And a civil war was characterized like this by the Red Crescent, earlier in, I think, in May or April of 2012. And I'm not sure about the reasons, but if you look at the definition of a civil war, which is people, like the same people or two factions of the same people fighting each other, this is not actually the case in Syria. What's been happening all along, it's a regime supported by foreign countries and by foreign groups, terrorist groups, I might add, like Hezbollah, Iran, Iraq, and Russia, are mainly killing and maiming the civilian population. Of course, the civilian population mounted its own military response after 8 months of being killed with no response. The people start arming themselves, and there is no match between the regime army, which has been trained and conditioned to do this for the last 4 years since Assad the father took over, and between rebels and who have basically machine guns at the most. They don't have any weapons to defend their neighborhoods from the air bombardment or even against the missiles. So it's mainly a revolution. It's mainly a people fighting for their freedom and dignity, and a regime fighting its own people and killing them with every weapon so far except nuclear weapons. And I'm sure if the regime has those, it would have used them.
The revolution, though, the revolutionary groups, there are a bunch of them, a bunch of different factions and organizations. And one of the, I think, hesitations from the United States government has been a concern that some of these groups cooperate with al-Qaeda or other international terrorist organizations. Is that something that worries you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are good signs what's coming out of Syria. And if you heard the news yesterday, there was actually a confrontation that these terrorist groups, or these what we call jihadi groups, which is more affiliated with al-Qaeda, they are really the minority in the rebel groups, and their objectives are exactly the opposite with the Syrian people objective. Their objective is to establish a caliphate or Islamic State in Syria, which will never happen, knowing Syria really well. knowing the Syrian people really well, this does not happen. Syria is used to diversity, but there are actually now military confrontation between the Free Syrian Army or the Syrian people represented by their kids, their sons, their daughters who are fighting the Assad regime. There are now in northern Syria, there are a fight broke out between them, and hopefully the Free Syrian Army, if it is well-equipped and if it's really supported by the U.S., will be able to topple the regime and rid Syria of those a small but well-equipped minority. And this is the thing. When we left the Syrian people with no cover, when we left them being mowed down during peaceful demonstrations by the regime forces, and they left their neighborhood bombarded by surface-to-surface missiles from airplanes with no protections, those jihadi groups start pouring in the country and offering to protect the Syrian people. And of course, a country which had been deprived of any political discourse for the last 40 years, the people did not see behind what these groups at the beginning, but the people came to realize really fast that these jihadi groups are as exact opposite of their position. They actually, the Syrian people think they are actually even operated secretly by the regime itself. And that actually has its roots because the regime supported the formation of these jihadi groups and sent them to Iraq to kill American soldiers and Iraqi citizens all along since the U.S. went into Iraq in 2003. So the Syrian people are already mounting resistance to those small jihadi groups.
Speaking of Iraq, Colin Powell, before the U.S. intervention in Iraq, said the Pottery Barn rule, you break it, you buy it, you overthrow Saddam Hussein, and you've got to deal with the aftermath. And it was fragmented, difficult, violent. Wouldn't it be the same in Syria? Are American people who oppose the war right to worry about what happens after Assad is overthrown if the U.S. intervenes?
This is one of those actually unchallenged media so-called fact that likening Syria to Iraq. Syria is exactly not like Iraq, and so that is for several reasons. When we went in Iraq in 2003, there was not a revolution in Iraq. Now Syrian people have already risen up for their freedom and dignity, already shown that they are willing to pay the price for freedom and dignity. They already shown they paid more than 100,000 civilians killed, 8,000 children even killed by the regime, a lot of women killed by the regime. There are one-third of the Syrian population either refugee or internally displaced. Hundreds of thousands are in jail and under horrible conditions and tortured. This is actually similar. If we go help the Syrian people, it's similar to France helping us during the American Revolution. It's not like us changing the regime. If we go help the Syrian people topple this regime, it's going to be exactly like the French when they came helpless. Now, what's going to happen after toppling the regime? Is the U.S. going to own it? And I don't think so. Although I have to mention that Syria need all the help it's need in the world to kind of rebuild and reestablish the normalcy in their life. More than 50% of the schools are destroyed by the regime. That's one example. The Syrian people are already risen up to take matters in their own hands, and the Syrian people, the refugees around, the intelligentsia of the Syrian population is all willing to come back, but they're all under threat. The regime has been targeting physicians, engineers, lawyers, specifically those group of people to kind of deprive the country of their services and because they can't form a leadership for a political discourse. Those people, when they have the slightest chance to go back, they are going to take things in their own manner. They're going to take things in their own hands, and they're going to probably be a good partner for the U.S. and the rest of the international community to rebuild Syria.
There's been talk as part of this whole chemical weapons deal of trying to bring a political settlement as opposed to a military overthrow of the Assad regime. Do you think there's room for a political settlement where Assad and rebel groups can sit down at a table together and work out a future for the Syrian government?
Well, the Syrian regime has lost every chance. In fact, it's actively killed every chance of political settlement. You have to know this regime has not practiced politics ever. It took power by military coup, and it's ruled the country by the security forces and the army forces. The regime did not allow any political discourse in the country. Assad, after committing so many crimes against the humanity, he knows that any political settlement will actually exclude him. Any political settlement will include at least justice for the victims of his regime, and that will include probably trying him or at least having him live in exile for the rest of his life. Assad has shown over and over again he is actually only paying lip service to political settlement and only pretending that he will actually sit for political settlement and go for Geneva, while on the ground continue to bomb civilian neighborhoods. Now, if you want to talk and say, well, the Russians are actually also interested, that's actually not true at all. If the Russians were interested in a political settlement, they would have forced the regime to release their allies who are actually political dissidents, peaceful political leaderships in the country, inside the country, who the regime been imprisoning for the last 2.5 years. The Russians did not even force the regime to release Dr. Abdelaziz Al-Khayr, who is a very prominent political opposition figure in the country, and he is actually the one who is engineering all these, trying to have a political solution in the country. So the Russians are basically, with this last chemical weapon deal, they're buying the regime more time. They have no objectives themselves other than basically sticking it to America. This is about Putin. It's not about the Syrian people or about Syria.
Dr. El-Aswad, that's all the time we have. We'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
That's Dr. Khaldun El-Aswad from Appleton. He was born and raised in Syria. He's a founding member of PROMISE, a non-governmental organization that raises funds and provides humanitarian aid to people in Syria.
Coming up next, we'll talk about an underground group in America, Mushroom Hunters. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.